So, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Onward Christian Soldiers Discipleship Class. My name is Daniel White, the third president of Gospel Light Society and pastor of Gospel Light House of Prayer International. The purpose of this time together is to teach young believers everything they need to know about their faith in Jesus Christ and provide them with the knowledge they need to live victorious Christian lives. Our key Bible verse is 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. And the Bible reads, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." Let's pray. Holy Father God, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we praise you and we thank you for your holy word, and we thank you for the truth of your holy word. And thank you, Lord, for giving at least the remnant of mine to live truthfully and honestly, and to live according to your holy word and not according to their feelings and what they think. And Holy Father God, we are weak and feeble, but we know that you're strong and mighty. And I give you the glory, the praise, and the honor for your strength and your might. I thank you for the fact that the devil is fighting against us. I thank you, Lord, for the fact that he's trying to use my own family to try to hinder me from preaching the gospel. Lord, I know that everybody wants it to be wonderful and sweet, and that all Christians are supposed to have it easy and we're supposed to be on a bed of roses. But Lord, based upon your holy word, based upon the experiences of the apostles and your servants down through the years, so many died. So many died keeping the faith and were stoned and sawn asunder and crucified upside down because they stood for the gospel and they stood for you, Lord Jesus. Their families forsook them and didn't want to have anything to do with them. And you predicted that this would happen. And if we were the devil, we would do the same thing, infiltrate the family, infiltrate the church. Paul predicted that false teachers would enter into the church and try to cause division, hypocrites and phonies and fakes. And so, Holy Father God, I do pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that, Lord, you would have mercy and grace upon those who claim to be believers but are allowing themselves to be used by the devil to try to hinder your gospel from going forward and your holy word from going forward. Help them to confess their sins. Help them to repent. Help them to turn from their evil ways, to stop their lying, to stop their hypocrisy. And oh, what a series we're in right now that's dealing with this ugly issue in the church. Hypocrisy, phoniness, being one way in the family and turning into something else when around other people in the church, around other people in the community, full of hell and the devil at home, but have the ability to turn themselves into angels of light when they get around other people. And so, Holy Father God, I pray that you would drive that demonic spirit out of their hearts, minds, souls, spirits, and lives. This hypocrisy, this phoniness, the lying and the dishonesty, the hatred, the bitterness, the resentment. And Lord, help us to all tell the truth and shame the devil. I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would rebuke and bind the devil, his demons and his hosts, and the satanic spirit of Judas, betrayal and sabotage and Sanballat and Tobias from this place. And Lord, the devil is fighting mighty hard this morning, but we're not ignorant of his devices. Lord, we've seen this over and over and over again down through the years. It's all designed to distract me from focusing on preaching your gospel and preaching your holy word. And the devil comes and he fights and he uses even people you would think he did not or would not use. And then he goes away and those people are ashamed and embarrassed at their behavior. So, Holy Father God, I do pray that through it all, lost souls would be saved. I pray for over 3 million lost people to come to know you as Savior. I pray for 3 million Christians to be revived again. And I pray that your holy name will be glorified and Jesus Christ exalted. And Lord, help us to learn from your holy word today how not to be envious of others. I am convinced truly born again Christians cannot help but be happy for others, even, Lord, when you choose to bless them and use them in ways that you don't use others. It's the Spirit of Christ that realizes that how just like you bless them, you can bless others, maybe in a different way based upon their calling. And so, Lord, help people to learn how to stop comparing themselves among themselves, for you said in your word that that is not wise. To stop trying to keep it with the Joneses and the Smiths, but to keep up with you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, our lesson today is titled, How to Overcome Temptation, Part 16. Part 116, by the way. And we're dealing with the temptation and the sin of envy. Interestingly enough, the first sermon I ever preached some 40 years ago was on the subject of envy from the book of Proverbs. Envy. In fact, the title was Envy! Exclamation mark. And here I am 40 years later with the help of my oldest son dealing with the same subject. In this section of our Onward Christian Soldiers discipleship class, we are looking at specific temptations that are, as the Bible says, common to man. We are looking at what the Bible says about these temptations, these evils, these sins that rest in our bosoms, even those who claim to be Christians, so we can be aware of its dangers and so that we can hide Holy Scripture in our hearts to use when we are tempted. The sin that we're looking at today is the sin, the evil, the temptation called envy. Open that up. Open that up. This is the fifth sin in a list of 12 temptations that comes from two sources. one ancient and one modern. The first source is a list that was developed by monks in the early church called the Seven Deadly Sins or the Cardinal Sins. The second source is a Bonner survey from 2011 which tracked the top temptations Americans admitted to struggling with. Today we are looking at Genesis chapter 30 verses 1 and 2, and I think I used this passage in my first sermon that I preached close to 40 years ago. Remember, the text of this lesson is made available online after each class, so you can go to our website at gospellighthouseofprayer.com. Is this still true? Technician in the back, Daniel White the Fourth. Okay, so all of the verses are back there. All of the verses from all of the Bible studies are back there. Okay, make sure that's the case. Click the Onward Christian Soldiers banner. Pardon me. On the home page and begin to learn these verses by heart throughout the week and hide these verses in your heart. Genesis chapter 30, verses 1 and 2. And when Rachel saw that she bare Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister and said unto Jacob, "Give me children, or else I die." And Jacob's anger was kindled against Rachel. And he said, "Am I in God's stead, who hath withheld from thee the fruit of the womb?" Ladies and gentlemen, according to the Evangelical Dictionary of Biblical Theology, envy is the sin of jealousy. They're like twins, those two sins, over the blessings and achievements of others, especially the spiritual enjoyment and advance of the kingdom of Christ freely and graciously bestowed upon the people of God. You've heard of sibling rivalry. There's nothing more ugly and more ridiculous and more stupid than for siblings born into the world by the same parents, even if they're not, envying one another, being jealous of one another. The problem with that wickedness is that the person who is thriving is moving on and really not thinking about the person who is envying. And the person is so busy envying the person who is thriving that they can't get any traction in their own lives and get down the road themselves. And I shared this with somebody the other night, how that it is not your job. God has blessed you. God has opened up doors for you. And God is using you, and you have achieved a lot. And just because you might have siblings who have not achieved as they should have, and they're not moving on down the road, don't let their pitiful dog eyes cause you to try to pick up something that is nothing but dead weight and that will hold you back and frustrate you. You keep on thriving. You keep on doing what God has blessed you to do, and you just pray for them. And they're going to have to go through the same tough, difficult things you had to go through. If you try to help pull them out You're going to be pulling dead weight, and they're going to pull you down, just like the proverbial crabs. There are some people, in the words of Mr. Hill, my friend Mr. Hill, you can't help. There's some people you can't help. And you would be wasting your time trying to help them. All you can do is pray for some people. They've got to learn it the hard way, or they will suffer the consequences. They've got to do the same thing you did to get to where you are. You can encourage them. You can pray for them. You can send them little quotes to push them along. But these who are envying you of your success and wanting what you got, you cannot give it to them. No one gave it to you, and you can't give it to them. And you're going to be pulling up 2,000 pounds of dead weight, and they're going to pull you down into the bottom of the can like the proverbial crabs. And I know you're tempted to reach back and try to just give them everything you got right now. You can't do that. You're not helping them. And then you're going to be frustrated with their nasty attitude towards you. These same envious people are going to always envy you, and they're going to be mad at you all the time. And you give them, the more you give them, the more they will try to manipulate you to get what you got, and they will always be envious. And you can't do anything about that. All you can do is pray for them, encourage them, and then leave them be. And let them go through whatever they got to go through. Because they're not going to be any good to you if you do everything for them. You want, and I told these people that what will happen is you will begin to disrespect them, and you will see them as deadbeats. And you're going to disrespect them, and you're going to mistreat them because you don't want to be bothered with them anymore. Because they refuse to get up and move out and do things on their own like you did. See, so it's best for them to do it themselves. And then when y'all meet up at the restaurant one day, not only will you have a whole lot to tell, they'll have a whole lot to tell too. They got to come up the rough side of the mountain as well. They've got to go through the chastisement. They've got to go through the rebuke. They've got to go through the difficult times. You got 4 degrees, they got to get 1. And they have to go through those lonely, cold evenings, dry evenings, when you don't feel like picking up that book and reading it and studying it and marking it and taking your tests. They got to go through that too. But see, what they want you to do is come and sit beside them and do it for them. To lead them every step of the way. And they will be sorry like that forever in your life if you let them do that to you. And so, ladies and gentlemen, the Hebrew word translated, envy, carries with it the idea of getting heated or burning with a mixture of desire and hatred. My God, help us. Desire for what others have and hatred for the person possessing that which we desire, and saying, why can I have it? There are many reasons why you can't have it. I said to you before, and I've said it many times before in the past, and I'll say it again, the mark of a truly born again, mature Christian is that they will not have an ounce of envy when somebody else is blessed of the Lord and God is using them in ways that God is not using them. Why is that? Because they understand there are many reasons why. One, the person does not have the same gifts. The person does not have the same talents. The person does not have the same makeup. It might be because you sinned against God and God had to chastise you for 5 years to get you right with him. And the other person chose to, he might have been chastised too, but he responded right, and he confessed his sins, or she confessed her sins and repented, and did not have to be chastised for 5 to 10 years, which will hold you back and hold you up. Over here. There are many reasons why you're not where they are. But if you're saved, if you're born again, if you have been washed in the blood of the Lamb, you will not envy them. You'll be happy for them. If you have a bad marriage and you claim to be Christians, you will be happy for people who have good marriages. Even if your marriage is bad. That's just, I'm talking about people who are truly born again, who are truly saved. Whatever the reason is, you don't have a great marriage. God knows about it. You know about it. Your mate knows about it. But you can be happy for, genuinely happy for somebody who has a great marriage. And you and not have an ounce of envy, and be grateful to God that that couple. Now listen, let me tell you something. Only Christ in you can make that happen. And it's a good feeling. When things may not have worked out the way you wanted them to work out for yourself and for your family, but God has blessed another family with that, with the original match, as Dr. Chuck Swindoll called it some years ago. For example, I know of a couple right now, they're traveling right now. They're called Heath and Alyssa, a young white couple. They love God and they love one another. And I think they love one another more. They just had a beautiful little baby. But you can tell. Do they have problems? Yes. Do they fuss every now and then? Yes. I'm not talking about that. But you can tell they love each other. They struck the original match. They got it going on. There's no faking, no phonying, no mess. I can tell you another couple. The beautiful lady hooked up with a man down in Waco, Georgia. I forget their names, but they have a television show about flipping houses. Do they fuss sometimes? Yes. Do they all get along all the time? No. They're human beings. They're sinners. But they are Christians. But you can tell they got something going on. They got the real deal. And just because you don't have it, does not mean if you're a child of God, you should be hateful and envious of them and be trying to get what they have and trying to mess with their wife and their husband and all that mess. Well, if I had her, if I had him, then we'll have it going on too. But even the lost singers, the heathen singers said, love the one you're with. Make the best out of a bad situation. And just deal with it and roll on and just make sure you're doing the right thing. Make sure you're living right, even if your spouse is not. Make sure you're doing the right thing, because God will give you peace. God will give you joy, and God will do some things in your life that he will not do in your spouse's life. Oh, yes. One will be left and one will be taken. God will bless you if you're obedient, even if your spouse is not. Don't tell me he won't, because I know he will. Often, ladies and gentlemen, feelings of envy come about over that which we have no control over, which is pointed out in the passage that we read today. In Genesis 30, we see Rachel becoming envious toward Leah, who had given birth to 3 sons. Rachel, which was Jacob's number one woman, his main squeeze, thus far was barren. She was, as the young people would say today, and even the old people, she was hot, but she was barren. She was great looking, but she was barren. Leah was not that attractive, apparently. My mother would call her homely. That's an old word. It's a nice way of saying not that attractive. But Rachel was Jacob's main squeeze. But she was barren. She was not having babies. And Leah was on a tear. As Jacob points out in his response to Rachel's demands, only God is in charge of the birth of a child. And Jacob was right. Rachel was getting heated over something that neither she, Leah, nor Jacob had any control over. How about you, dear Christian friend? She was so upset, so mad, so angry, so envious. That she thought she would die if she didn't have children. How often does envy drive us to illogical thoughts and actions? So many people are driven by envy today on Facebook, on Instagram, on Pinterest, and all of the other social media outlets. People try to make people envious. Somebody needs to tell Mail Online and some of the other publications that Kim and her sisters need to give us a break. One day they're in the Caribbean, another day they're in Hawaii, another day and they're dressed up in their little tight clothes and all of that. Every day they're doing something. On television, every day they're doing something. We need a day off from these people who are making so many people envious of their lifestyle. Now, they can't help people being envious, but they can slow it down. There are people who specialize in making people envious of what they're doing to the point that they will lie. They'll have a painted background of some special place and put themselves in front of it to say, look at me, look at me, look at me. So instead of letting envy fester in our hearts, as Rachel did, we must choose to understand that God is in control of everything. He blesses some in certain ways and at certain times, that he chooses not to bless others. And guess what? God wants you to maintain a good attitude and a good spirit. In these periods of life, when we look up and see someone else being blessed in a way that we think we should be blessed, we ought to strive instead to be grateful, thankful, and content with what God has blessed us with, and at the same time grateful and thankful and happy for others. And you ought not even have to strive for it. If you have Christ living in you and you are a mature Christian, you'll just be that way. Rachel, of course, eventually does give birth to two sons who come in God's timing. And that's another thing. You need to learn how to wait on God. God may have something even better for you, or comparable. But if you are proud and arrogant, mean and hateful and jealous of others, then God may very well hold your blessing back that he had prepared for you. You need to learn how to wait on the Lord. Her envy over Leah is a waste of time, effort, and emotional energy over matters that she could not control. May we learn from her not to expend energy on envy. Pray and ask God to help you not to be envious. Some of you may need to get off of Facebook for a while and Instagram and the other social media outlets, and even leave television alone. Stop looking at what's going on with the Joneses, what's going on with others. Sitting there stewing because you don't have what they have. Be content with such things as you have. Paul said, I learned how to abound and to be abased. But he was content. Are you content today? If you are a born-again Christian and if you have been saved a while, you should be content right now and happy for everybody else, and you ought to be happy for yourself. So, dear friend, if you struggle with envy, if you struggle with the sin of envy, take this passage to heart and take heed to it the next time you face that temptation. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for your holy word. And Lord, it is always amazing how you use your preached and taught word in the lives of people. Oftentimes, preachers don't hear the impact, hear back about the impact in the lives of people. And that's okay. And Lord, you have arranged it that way so that we don't get the big head, and we thank you for that. But Lord, we thank you for your holy word that we know when it goes out, it will not come back void or empty. Have mercy and grace upon all of us who name the name of Christ, and where we have sinned against you, and being envious of others, and not focusing on what we ought to be doing, which is another big problem that if you should tarry your coming, we will deal with next week. And that is making sure we are doing what we're supposed to do, and letting and realizing that we need to let you do what you're going to do in your time in the way that you see fit. Now, Holy Father God, we pray that you would save those who are lost, revive those who are saved, and save those who are lost so that they would not go to hell and envy the saints who made it into heaven through trusting Christ as Savior. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, ladies and gentlemen, in closing today, if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, St. John 3:16 says, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The Bible also says in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 13, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Are you saved today? If not, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead on the third day. And all you have to do is pray and ask him to save you, and he will save you. Please follow me in prayer. Mean it from your heart. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, believing in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ, who paid your sin debt, who died for your sins, was buried, and rose again. Let's pray together. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have done evil in your sight. I have broken your Ten Commandments by lying, by stealing, by lusting after and coveting and envying other people and things, dishonoring my parents and disobeying my parents, and taking your holy name in vain. For Jesus Christ's sake, have mercy and grace, Lord, upon me. And please forgive me of all of my sins, as I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered and bled and died on the cross for my sins, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past. And help me to turn from my old life and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you just trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior and you prayed that prayer and meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God, you are now saved from hell and you are on your way to heaven. Welcome to the family of God, dear friend. I want to congratulate you on doing the most important thing in life, and that is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet titled What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Until next time, my beloved, may the Lord bless you and keep you, is my prayer.